Selective Insurance versus the City of Paris. Mr. Ray.
May it please the court, counsel. This is a procedural case involving rules 54, 56, 58, 59, and 60, or at least maybe. I think it also could be said to involve the declaratory judgment statute at 28 U.S.C. 2201 and 2202. Fundamentally, it's a coverage DJ brought by Selective against the City of Paris and a couple of City of Paris police officers or former police officers with regard to some Section 1983 claims brought also in the Central District. The key aspect of this case is that the amended complaint filed by Selective has several prayers for relief. One of them is a declaration that it has no duty to defend, or in short, it has no coverage for the claims made in the underlying case. The key additional claim for relief prayed for is that it recover the cost of defense it had expended to that point. The first of the two underlying lawsuits was filed in 2005. This DJ was filed in December of 2007. And in the meantime, pursuant to reservation of rights, Selective was participating, at least at times, in the defense of the underlying case. The plaintiffs, there's a procedural background involving consolidation that I don't think is really all that important, but the net upshot was that Selective then filed a motion for summary judgment asking for the declaration it had no coverage. When it did that, it did not include any request that the court consider the prayer for recovery of the costs of defense. The court ruled on that motion, as well as another motion by a different carrier that had similar, basically, situation involving these occurrence-based policies. And the court, in January of 2010, issued a lengthy opinion concluding there was no coverage for Selective and the other carrier, Allianz, and then entered a 58 separate document, and in its order declared that the case was terminated. Subsequently, within the 30-day period of Rule 59, a company called Western World, which did have coverage and had never denied it had coverage, filed a motion asking the court to withdraw from its statement in its opinion that Western World had a duty both to defend and indemnify, the duty to indemnify too soon. The City of Paris agreed that it was too soon to address the duty to indemnify. There were separate issues between the City and Western World on how many policy triggers there might be, and it was agreed this is not the time to take that up. Part of Western World's presentation was a motion for leave to file an amended complaint to take up the indemnification issue. And the position of the City was, you can't do that yet, and the court correctly agreed with that. During this period of time, then, there's no new 58 document following the May 27, 2010 ruling by the court. And so this court has previously ruled in connection with a rather lengthy docketing statement that we filed, a different panel, but says that all we're going to do today is address the decision by the district court on the motion to reconsider filed in October of 2012 that relied on a change in the law from what it had been when the January 2010 ruling came down until the October 2012 motion to reconsider. So the position here is simply this. There are separate claims within the meaning of Rule 54B, and they are right of declaration, and secondly, the cost of defense recovery. Much of the briefing has to do with cases that involve attorney fees for the case at bar. And it's clear, particularly under Rule 54D now, that claims for attorney fees for the case at bar are not going to create a separate claim for 54B purposes. And now we have a procedure that's pretty clear on what you're supposed to do. Now, the claim here is not for the case at bar. It's for the other cases. And that's what distinguishes it from, I think, any case that's come up to the appellate courts before, at least that we could find, based on the briefs. So, our position is simply that the district court, when it made its ruling in January of 2010, did not rule on all pending claims. Therefore, it's a 54B. Therefore, in order to make an appealable order, there had to be a 54B special finding, and there was not. And that's why this case remains open. The motion to reconsider, even though literally years later, was not too late. And I think that there might be some perception that, well, so why wasn't this brought up before? Why did it take so long? Well, the fundamental reasons, I think, really are two. One is that the underlying cases were still going on. They were up to this court more than once, for example. And they were still unresolved, both of them, in October of 2012 when the decision was made to move forward. I might observe that there's nothing in the record before you that Selective is arguing that it has been prejudiced by this delay. And I mention that, I should have got some water, I mention that because I don't think there's any argument being made that they haven't been aware of the city's position on the 54B situation. Now, the thing that I kind of concluded in looking this over last night that, to me, is the point of decision is that Rule 58 says that there should be a separate document, and because the district court did issue a separate document in January of 2010, does that somehow trump Rule 54B's requirement that if there are separate claims that you must have this special finding, or to the contrary, does Rule 54B trump the fact that there's been a Rule 58 document? And I think the answer is in Rule 58, because it starts out twice, subject to Rule 54B, comma. And so 54B provides your rule of decision. The next question I think you have to look at is, are these really truly separate claims? And that, in a sense, is the key factor. We have the question of jurisdiction a little bit here. I think that's a question of interpretation of rules. It's a de novo standard of review here. You might argue, well, but didn't the district court, on ruling on the motion to reconsider, decide that that there were not separate claims for 54B purposes? I think the answer is the court never reached that point. The court did not make a 54B finding. The court asserted instead, and didn't make the 54B finding in 2010 or in 2013 when it got around to deciding the motion to reconsider. The court asserted, well, I decided everything back in 2010, at least by implication. I would suggest that the only implication is really to the contrary, which is because Section 2202 of 28 U.S.C., the second section of the Declaratory Judgment Statute, says once a party gets a declaratory judgment, it can take further steps on reasonable notice and with a right of a hearing to follow up with that. In other words, I've now declared I'm free of a duty to defend. Can I get any more relief? Selective prayed for that additional relief. The answer under the Declaratory Judgment Statute is yes, it can, and it's already in the pleading. So it is a separate claim, and if you look at the cases about separate claims, usually the phrases are the same basic facts involved such that this court, the Court of Appeals, would have to relearn or revisit the same facts to decide the first claim that is the first of the 54B claims, or is a separate, even a somewhat related set of facts. What the set of facts are for the DJ part of it, is there a duty to defend, is there coverage, is simply, I'm out of time.
You can conclude your thought.
Is simply, what's the underlying complaint allege, and how does that compare to the policy provisions? Those are the relevant facts. On the separate claim for cost of defense, it is, what are reservation of rights letters, and what do they say, and what do they mean, and what's the law that applies to that, which has nothing to do with the duty to defend. So for all those reasons, I think you have separate claims, and you should send this back to the court.
Can I ask one question?
Of course.
One question.
Thank you.
Was there any bar to you? I know in Judge McCuskey's mind, it looks like what he decided is, I ruled on the duty to defend. You guys are right. The duty to indemnify is premature. Is there any reason, and that's contingent really too, first of all, something has to happen in the underlying case to put that duty to indemnify on the table. Is there any bar to you then filing a separate lawsuit to get the duty to indemnify decided, or would there have been some preclusion based on the fact that you didn't go back to get Judge McCuskey to think about that issue?
Well, Judge McCuskey's ruling at that time was, without prejudice, he denied the motion of Western World for leave to file its amended complaint. So that case is presumably still hanging down there in Urbana because it's pending on that decision. It's kind of like the case involving Judge Bua that's cited in the cases here, where there was kind of an artificial attempt at the district court level to give jurisdiction to this court. This court said, no, we're not going to take it. But I don't know. I think that's the best answer I have for you right now. There, yes, it could have been done separately because it might have been the City of Paris might have done it by separate suit, but it could have done it by a counterclaim. In fact, it might have been a compulsory counterclaim at the time it would become ripe.
I just asked because we don't put a Rule 58 judgment on unless we think the case is over. That's sort of our way of thinking a case being over is a Rule 58 judgment. And I guess everything would have been a lot easier if you guys had come in at that same stage as the other folks filed for reconsideration and said, number one, you didn't decide all of our claims, and number two, there's this new case called McFetridge that really changed the law.
But I understand that, but the problem is their claim against my client to get money back. Why would I want to bring that to anybody's attention if I didn't have to? Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Ray. Mr. Conrad.
Well, good afternoon, Judge. Judges, may it please the court. My name is Christopher Conrad. I represent Selective Insurance Company. I think when you distill this case down to the facts, you have one order, the parties of which are disputing the interpretation of it. On the one hand, is either a final and appealable order. And if it was a final appealable order, then their motion for reconsideration was properly denied. On the other hand, if it was an interlocutory order, they argue that Rule 54B applies. There's no dispute that if it was a final order, the motion for reconsideration was properly denied. Here, this was a final order. The court's January 27, 2010 order resolved all of the issues that Selective had put forth in its Declaratory Judgment Act, namely the main issue of whether or not it owed coverage under its policies for the underlying claims. But before we even get to that, though, this court, as counsel has alluded to through a different panel, has already ruled that the January 27, 2010 order was final. In issuing its order on November 27, 2013, the court specifically said that the final judgment was entered in 2010. So, I mean, that issue's already been decided for the court. As Your Honor noted, that when the January 27, 2010 order was, opinion was entered, a separate Rule 58 judgment was entered, and the opinion that the court issued had concluded with the notation, this case is terminated. I don't know how more clear a judge can be that the proceeding has been concluded, other than using that language. More importantly, everybody to this case treated this like a final order. As counsel talked about some of the procedural movement after the January 26, 2010 judgment was entered, Western World moved to amend the order under Rule 59E. 59E is mutually exclusive to 54B. 59E only applies if this was a final and appealable order. In moving under 59E, Western World found this order to be final and appealable. The court, in considering and in granting in part the 59E motion, found the January 27, 2010 opinion to be final and appealable. And even the city, in filing their response to Western World's 59E motion, conceded that relief under 59E is appropriate. By conceding relief under 59E was appropriate, they've effectively foreclosed any later argument that 54B applies. You cannot have an order that at one point in time is considered final and appealable, and then down the road is somehow interlocutory. They're mutually exhaustive remedies, and you can't interpret the order the same way. With regard to the argument that this was an interlocutory order and that there were claims pending for relief, Selective's request for reimbursement so overlapped and was enveloped by its request for a determination of its duty to defend that they cannot be determined for purposes of law, as a matter of law, to be separate claims. This court has indicated that at a minimum, claims cannot be separate unless separate recovery is possible on each. In this case, the request that was contained only in an addendum clause, or the prayer for relief, was not a separate count, was not a separate claim. It can only be recoverable in the event that the court made a determination in the first instance that there was no duty to defend. Had Selective lost its declaratory judgment action and the court determined there was a duty to defend, the request for reimbursement would be moot. There's nothing to reimburse at that point because the money was properly outlaid. So without a determination of the duty to defend, the request for reimbursement is irrelevant. They arised, both the claim that there was no duty to defend and the request for reimbursement of defense fees arised out of the exact same factual scenario. They both had to do with the underlying lawsuits, and no additional evidence or information would have been required to determine either, save for the bills. With regard to Western World's request for reimbursement, Western World's request for revisitation of the duty to indemnify, it is important to note that the district court, in deciding their motion for reconsideration, not only did it say that the request for reimbursement was not a separate claim, but it also said it implicitly denied it and it was not pending. And this court, the district court is entitled to interpret its own opinions, and that's reviewed for an abuse of discretion standard. And there's nothing in the evidentiary record to suggest there was an abuse of discretion. Western World. Real briefly on that point, Western World's duty to indemnify was not a separate claim, even setting aside the fact that it doesn't involve a party to the appeal or to the determination as Selective rights vis-a-vis the City of Paris. But Western World never sought the court to rule on its duty to indemnify. It was never before the court. They only sought a declaration of their duty to defend. And in fact, when they brought the issue to the court's attention after the January 27, 2010 order was entered, they specifically said that nobody's asked for that relief. The claim was not ripe, because there was no judiciable controversy, it could not have been a claim pending under the Declaratory Judgment Act not only was it not asserted, but it wasn't ripe or wasn't appropriate to be asserted. Even if you set aside the fact that 54B and 59E are mutually exclusive, you set aside the fact that this was a final and appealable order, you get to the motion or the appeal should be affirmed on independent grounds because the City of Paris's Rule 54B motion was not timely asserted. They waited over two years from the underlying judgment to file their motion for reconsideration. And none of the motion practice in the district court and none of the appellate briefings has the city ever raised the issue of why the delay occurred. Counsel touched upon it in his argument and as to possible reasons why the delay occurred. There's still been no evidence as to why they didn't file their motion. And to my knowledge, there's no case law that requires prejudice to the party that is opposing a 54B motion. Rule 54B motions must be brought within a reasonable amount of time. Case law has established that 4 months or so can be held to be unreasonable. This has been over two years, which is clearly unreasonable. Therefore, even if there were separate claims pending, there's independent grounds to affirm the motion based on affirm the court's denial based on that.
Thank you, Mr. Conrad. Mr. Ray, your time has expired, but you may have a minute.
I would like to point out just two things. One is, I think there's an issue of semantics about what's interlocutory and what's final. 54B has to be a final judgment or it doesn't even count. They become interlocutory from being final because they're subject to revision. And you see in the cases, I think, some confusion about that. I pointed out to you. The second thing is Rule 59 does not say it cannot be used in a 54B context where there's no 54B finding. Thank you for the extra time.
All right. Thank you, Mr. A. Thank you, Mr. Conrad. The case is taken under advisement.